In Luke chapter 24, we'll be reading in just a few moments. Consider this. In 1962, four young musicians auditioned for Decca Records. The executives dismissed them, saying, "We don't like their sound. Groups of guitars are on the way out." And the Beatles left with no contract. 1954. Elvis Presley was fired by the manager of the Grand Ole Opry, who said, "You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck."
Oh. Well.
Alexander Graham Bell, after inventing the telephone, was told by President Rutherford Hayes, "That's an amazing invention. But who in the world's ever going to want to use one of those things?"
Nice.
And it took Thomas Edison 2,000 tries to invent the light bulb. After doing this, a young reporter asked him, "How'd it feel to fail 2,000 times?"
Great question.
Thomas Edison replied, "Why, son, I never failed once. It just happened to be a 2,000-step process." In all four of these situations, if these men would have listened to their critics and lost hope, they would never have achieved the success every one of us know that they achieved. The last few weeks, we've been talking about the church in Thessalonica and how Paul commended them before his God as being a model church. That they imitated the churches in Judea.
Yep.
And therefore, they became a model church for Macedonia and Achaia. And really, their faith rang out everywhere.
Yep. Yeah. Come on,
and they were known. I dare say, they had critics too.
Yep.
They had people that told them, "It'll never work." And if they'd have listened and lost their hope and quit, because that's what we do. When we lose our hope, we quit, don't we?
Yeah.
If they'd have done that, they would have never been the model church that was a light. And I appreciate what Reed said earlier. To so many. Title of the lesson today, endurance inspired by hope.
Come on, bro.
All right, bro. Come on.
Luke chapter 24.
Come on.
Verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took some spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Now, whenever I read this, my question always is, what made them forget? What made them forget? See, they'd forgotten Jesus' words. How about us? I believe Jesus has given us the answers in His Word for every question we'll ever have.
Amen.
The question is, do we know them? And if we do, do we remember them? How do you miss this one? This was the day Jesus rose from the dead. You guys with me here?
Yeah.
Yesterday, the Parlors threw Brittany an incredible graduation party.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Graduation party. How about resurrection party.
About that.
I mean, if you'd left everything to follow Jesus, you followed him for 3 years. You believed in him so much you left everything. And he told you, now listen, because of what I'm teaching, I'm going to be persecuted to death. I'm going to be nailed to a cross. But then, 3 days later, I'm going to raise from the dead.
Come on.
How do you forget that one? And I'm a forgetful guy. I mean, I forget my keys, you know. Sometimes you forget your kids, you know, where'd I put them, you know. But what about this fact? You'd have thought they'd have had a party planned. The band would have been warming up. The food would have been being prepared. Because, guys, today's the day he comes back. But they weren't. They'd forgotten his words. What made them forget? Look down verse 13. I love these two guys right here. That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. This is one of the coolest scriptures in the whole Bible right here. So Jesus walks up incognito to these guys, and they don't recognize him. And by the way, they're walking 7 miles away from Jerusalem on the day Jesus is going to raise from the dead. They're walking away from the big event. What's going on? Jesus asked them, what are you guys discussing together as you walk along the road? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? You do not know the things that have happened here in these days. What things? Jesus asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And he goes on to talk about how today is the third day. You know, if it had been the fourth day, maybe I could understand this. The fifth day, you know, come the seventh day, okay, maybe he's not going to raise. But this was the third day. They hadn't even given it the amount of time Jesus said to give it.
Wow.
And already, their hope was gone. They had hoped that he was the one who's going to redeem Israel. You know, Jesus in the Bible is called our hope.
Yep.
Is Jesus your hope?
Come on. Come
so often, on. You'll be tempted to put your hope in other things.
Yep.
You know, I read a sports headline just recently. It said, Clemens' return gives Yankees hope. Ageless ace still has a lot to offer. See, you got all these Yankee fans like Lee back there, and they're getting all hopeful again about the Yankees. Why? Because Steinbrenner will spend whatever it takes to get a new player? Yes. But because that player happens to be Roger Clemens, and he's a great pitcher, one of the greatest of all time. And they go, that gives me hope. How much more should Jesus give us hope?
Come on, bro.
That Jesus is our Lord.
Come on,
and he is going to redeem us.
Come on, bro.
But they had hoped he was the one. Now, was he the one?
Yes.
You guys?
Yep.
Yeah. But how come they didn't believe it anymore? See, when we cease to believe something, it doesn't mean it ceases to be true. But when we stop hoping, we quit. We give up and we don't endure. These guys had lost their hope that Jesus was the one. Why? Read on. It says here, and what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women said, but him they did not see. I believe that's your answer right there. We believe what we see. Don't we?
Come on, bro. Yeah. Wow.
It's how we operate. You show me, and I'll believe you. God says, you believe it, and baby, I'll show you.
Amen. Come on, bro.
I believe with all my heart that when they saw Jesus crucified on the cross, that was it. It doesn't matter what he said. That was such a horrifying sight. Our Lord, being beaten bloody beyond recognition, and nailed to a tree. For you. For my sin. For your sin. And I believe when they saw that, or when those that didn't see it heard about it, it was so horrifying. They forgot Jesus' words. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Anything really horrifying ever happened in your life that caused you to lose hope? And forget Jesus' words?
Wow.
I believe for most of us this is true.
Yeah, come on.
Probably all of us. We've seen some horrible things, guys.
Yep.
And we're tempted to lose hope.
Wow.
Doesn't mean hope is lost. But if we lose it, we're lost.
Yep.
Wow. Read a story just this week. It happened back in 2005. About five fishermen off the coast of Mexico. And I was sharing this morning, and Alba had actually remembered hearing about it in the news. These five fishermen set off to go shark hunting. Now, that's pretty cool right there. They went off to hunt for some sharks, and the first night out, they lost their fishing line. In searching for their fishing line, they lost their fuel. They ran out of gas. And they were adrift. Five of them. As they started drifting out into the Pacific Ocean, further and further, they didn't know what to do. They tried to fish on either side of the small boat with their hands. They collected rainwater to drink. It's kind of like Tom Hanks in Castaway. You know? Even they said one night, they did spend a night amongst a group of orca whales. And that was one of the most terrifying nights because they were afraid that one of the orcas would flip their boat right over. One of the guys had a compass. And he kept trying to encourage the other ones, hey, if we keep going this direction, we're going to end up in China sooner or later. You think that's funny, but by the time they ended, they were caught by a Taiwanese fishing boat in Micronesia. That's just north of Australia, all the way across the entire Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Another one of the guys had a little Casio watch. And everybody kept asking, what time is it? A little while would pass, what time is it? You know how you do that watch? Same thing preacher does. See you later. You'll get it. Just be patient. He threw it away. Because he got tired of everybody asking, what time is it? 9 months. And 9 days later, they were found.
Wow.
Two had died. Three lived. The three that lived, it's because they ate whatever was there to eat. The birds landed in. I don't get gross, but they cracked the bird open. get the stuff out they didn't want to eat, and they'd eat the birds, the fish that they caught. The two guys that died, they said they wanted to live, but they never wanted to eat. The three guys that lived, there was one more thing they had in that boat. They had a Bible. They organized scripture reading, morning, noon, and night. And when they were found, the three that survived said, "We never lost hope."
Wow. That's awesome.
9 months, 9 days.
Wow.
How about you?
Wow.
Think, man, it's over. There's nothing out here. But now it's 2 years later since they've been found. I think there was a lot to live for. How about you?
Yeah.
But we were in the middle of something horrible. We just want to quit.
Yeah.
We want to give up. But today we're talking about endurance inspired by hope.
Amen.
What does Jesus say to these guys on the road? Verse 25. What does He say about their faithlessness? He said to them, "My poor little brothers, I'm so sorry you're weak in your faith. Give me a hug. Come close to me, my little children. I know you really want to believe, but it's so hard for you." It's not what He says, is it? But in our 2007 political correct world, we think that's what we're supposed to say. Jesus said this, and I believe it was in all love. He said, "How foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter His glory?" And beginning right there with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself.
Wow.
What was Jesus' answer? What was Jesus' answer with their faithlessness?
Wow.
He said, "Let's open our Bibles."
Yep. Yeah, come on, bro.
"Let's see what the scriptures say."
Yeah, come on, bro.
Stop believing what you see.
Come on now.
And believe the Word of God.
Come on, bro.
Yep. And they didn't have the New Testament. See, that was written later about them. That's what we have. They said the Old Testament. So Jesus cracked open Moses and the prophets.
Amen.
And He taught about Himself from the Old Testament prophecies.
Wow.
And I ask people, how would you like to be in a Bible study about Jesus, an Old Testament Jesus study, led by Jesus?
Yeah. Nice.
On the day He rose from the dead. I don't think that would have been boring. And I think He'd had a lot of conviction.
Oh yeah.
And we know that's true because of this. Later on down below, verse 32. Once they realized it was Jesus, see, they still didn't know it was Jesus. And that's key, because I think if Jesus walked up to us and said, "Come here, let me pull you aside, Anthony. Ashley, come here, let me talk to you. Barb, come here a second." And Jesus said, "I just want to say, you're being foolish. Stop believing the stinking world. Get in the Word." We listen. We say, "But I'm not Jesus. I can't do that to anybody." Remember, according to these two guys, this was just some stranger to those parts. They didn't even know it was Jesus. But they humbly listened to that life-giving rebuke. Not even knowing it was Jesus. But they knew whoever it was opening the Word of God with them.
Yep.
Isn't that awesome? And what does it say, verse 32? They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures?" What did Patrick Cooper, our new brother, say earlier? What did it for him? The Bible studies.
Yep.
We do some basic Bible studies in case you're a first-time guest and you don't know. Well, we do some basic Bible studies on the Word of God, what it means to seek God, the Kingdom of God, discipleship.
Amen.
What it means to be a Christian.
Amen.
The light and darkness study, which talks about sin that puts us in the dark. How to repent of sin and how to get in the light. And then we do studies about church history. What the church is, what it should be, and how false teachers have taken it astray. We teach these things. And you learn more. I learn more in a week.
Yeah.
Doing those Bible studies, then I'd learn all my life going to multiple churches. The Bible studies.
Yep.
If you haven't been in a Bible study, Christians, in a while, get in studies.
Yep.
When you get away from getting the Bible open with someone, you forget what we're doing and you get theological on us. Well, I think what the Scriptures are... No.
Come on, bro. Come
when on. You stop getting and applying it to life, your own and your friends and your neighbors, you forget why, and we start intellectual exercises.
Come on, bro.
And that's not what Jesus was about. When Jesus opened the Word, their hearts were burning inside of them. And they went back to what they were doing. See, when we lose hope, we quit, and we start walking miles away from where the action is.
Wow.
When we get our hearts back and we start burning again, we get right down in the action.
That's right.
They went back to the brothers and the apostles. They said, we've seen Him. He's risen from the dead.
Come on.
There are three hopes that I believe will keep us enduring.
Come on, bro.
To the very end. They're the same hopes we preached about last week. They're the same hopes we're going to preach about next week. Oh, we'll rearrange them, put some new analogies on them, and try to spit them out in a new and inspiring way. But it's pretty simple being a follower of Jesus Christ. They had hoped He was going to redeem Israel. Well, He was. And He did. And He still is. Three hopes. The hope of salvation. The hope of transformation. You with me?
Yep. Yeah.
And the hope that together we will see the evangelization of all nations.
Amen.
That Jesus is the one that is going to redeem the world.
Come on, bro.
That's our hope, guys.
Right.
But if we say today, well, you know, I had hoped that I was going to be saved. I had hoped that I could be transformed and become more like Jesus on this earth. And I had hoped that I could be a part of a movement that would evangelize the world. Then we quit.
That's right. Yeah. Come on.
We quit.
Wow.
We quit on our own salvation. We quit on the salvation of our neighbors and our friends and our family.
Yeah.
And we quit on those in the world we don't even know.
Yeah.
Because we had hoped.
We
need to be like those fishermen that did whatever it took, kept in the Scriptures. See, I believe that's what kept those three fishermen alive, was those morning, noon, and night Bible readings that they did on that boat. And it makes me wonder about the two that died. I'm just speculating, but maybe they didn't believe in the Bible. Therefore, they didn't get hope from the Scriptures. Matthew 24.
Come on, bro.
I want to remind you of another set of Jesus' words in Matthew 24 that far too many have forgotten. Matthew chapter 24. So, what's it going to be like if I become a Christian? Well, what's it going to be like if I am saved? If I become a part of church? And what do we hear today? Oh, things are going to go great in your life. What do we hear preachers say? Health and wealth gospel. Oh, you're going to be physically awesome and you're going to prosper. God's going to bless you. Are those the vows you took, married folks, when you got married? You know, I pledge. Do you take Teresa in health and wealth, prosperity and lack of adversity and all good things, so help you God? I do. No, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health, till death do us part. That's what being a Christian is. It's a relationship with God. and all that that brings, that I'm going to be a part of God, and I'm going to be one with God. And so whatever people think about God, that's what they're going to think about me, for better or for worse. Matthew 24, verse 9. These are Jesus' words I want to remind you of. It says, Jesus says to the first century disciples, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations. Look at these three words. Because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray. See those words? Betray. And hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Why will all this happen? Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold.
Wow.
But here it is, guys. But he who stands firm to the end,
amen,
he who endures, will be saved.
Wow.
And this gospel of the kingdom,
amen,
will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come.
Amen. Come on.
And we know this happened in the first century.
Yep.
See, he says they were hated by all nations. Well, how are you going to be hated by all nations unless you go talk to all nations?
Yep. That's where we come in.
I was studying this with my son yesterday and asked him, Austin, why do you think people are going to be hated? Why do you think the Christians were going to be hated? He said, because we preach the truth. That's exactly right. If you just go with the flow, nobody's going to hate you. Hold your place here and go to John 15.
Come on, bro.
Let me remind you of some more of Jesus' words that we cannot forget no matter what horrible things we see. We can't forget the truth. John 15:18. It says here, again Jesus talking to the first century disciples, if the world hates you, keep in mind, hated me first. Hated me first.
That's right.
If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Look at this. Remember these words I spoke to you. No servant's greater than his master. If they persecute me, they'll persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they'll obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. Isn't that what we read in Matthew 24? You'll be persecuted, hated, put to death because of me. If you just lived your life, you'd be fine. So, what is Jesus trying to teach us? Here's what he says. The world is going to hate the church just like they hated Jesus and crucified him because of what he taught. You with me?
Yeah.
Now, there's not one of you, including Anthony Franklin, that can preach the word so smooth and suavely that people will hear these hard challenges and still just love him no matter what.
Right.
See, we can't do it better than Jesus did it.
Right.
And the way Jesus did it brought death. Well, I'll do it in a little more politically correct way. I'll let the word be the thing that challenges them. No, they're going to hate the messenger. Jesus says, the world is going to hate the church. But then he goes on. And he says, at that time, many are going to turn away from the faith. Is that people in the world?
No.
No, that's people in the church, guys. You with me?
Yeah.
Pay attention to what Jesus said would happen so you don't miss it. They're going to turn away from the faith. And then they're going to go to the world. And they're going to betray their former brothers and sisters. And they're going to hate their former brothers and sisters.
Mm.
That's what Jesus said would happen.
Yeah.
Now, when people fall away and turn away from the faith, there's two things that can happen. They leave, and they know they've left the faith. And they admit it, and they say, I know I'm not walking like Jesus. I'm not going to go and deceive myself and pretend I am. Others leave, but they still want to think they're fine.
Yeah.
And that's where this other part of what Jesus said. At that time, many false teachers will appear and deceive many people. So some will leave the church just to go back to the world. Why? The increase of wickedness. Others, when these false teachers appear and say, hey, you don't have to be totally committed. You don't have to give up everything. Hey, health and wealth gospel, baby. Come over here. We got Sunday school, teen ministry. We got first and second grade slide into pool classes. You know, it's awesome. So come on over here and you'll still be saved. And others are, it says, they'll appear and deceive many people. Who are they going to see? The world? No, the church.
Yeah, come on, bro.
And so they'll go over to the false teachers. Who has the hope of salvation? Those who stand firm to the end.
Yeah. Come on.
They'll be saved.
Wow. Come on.
And their gospel will ring out to all
Amen.
Nations.
Yeah.
The hope of salvation. The hope of transformation. And the hope for the evangelization of all nations. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
That's why we're a church. We're not here to make life on earth a little easier. That's not what we're here for. We're in the boat in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and we got to eat whatever flies in the boat.
Yeah, come on, bro. Come on, bro. Talk about it. Eat what flies in the boat.
The Christian life is not the easy life. If it was, why would so many turn away and their hearts grow cold? It is hard what Jesus called us to do.
Yeah, come on, bro.
It is a challenging, challenging walk. We've seen so many horrible things. We live in a world of uncertainty. In marriage, in economics, in war. We've seen horrible things. We live in a world of false teachers. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Come on. Great stuff, bro.
Jesus said they'd come. How do you recognize them?
Come on, bro. Tell us.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations.
Amen. Wow. Preachy, Chris.
I ask people when I study this false doctrine study with them, why do you think there are so many false teachers that are out in the world willing to teach false things to people? That's exactly the answer. Supply and demand. There's a lot of people that want to hear false things. There's a lot of people, listen close, that want to hear it's easier. There's a lot of people that want to hear you don't have to give up everything to be a disciple of Jesus. You don't have to be totally committed. You don't have to be like the church in Acts 2, devoted to the apostles' teaching. Devoted to fellowship.
Yep.
Devoted to breaking of bread and prayer. Meeting together every day. You don't have to do all that. Just come on Sunday.
Yep.
And come when you can on Wednesday.
Wow.
And there are teachers that will tell them that's okay. Or maybe they won't say it, but they won't challenge them when they don't.
Right.
And they'll allow the church to become lukewarm.
Yeah.
And have their first love in other areas.
Wow. Come on.
There are people that don't want to hear Hebrews 10. Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for you promise is faithful. Do not be in the habit of missing church. Hebrews 10,
yep.
23 and on.
Three.
They don't want to hear that. They've missed, but it was good reason. And they miss again, and it was a good reason. And now they're in a habit of missing. Guys, We believe here, you got to seek the kingdom first.
Yep.
It's the gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
We expect people to be here on Sunday. We expect people to be here on midweek.
Yep.
Men and women every other week. We expect campus on Friday devos.
Yep.
We're only about 15, 16, and that's from 5 a year ago. Amen?
Amen.
But we can't have 15, 16, and 3 or 4 not there Friday night.
That's right.
Are we here to win the world?
That's right.
And we got to seek the kingdom first.
Come on.
That's what Jesus said.
Awesome.
Our hearts can't grow cold. When your hearts grow cold, you rationalize. When your love grows cold, you rationalize. You know, I don't have to sacrifice that much. God still knows my heart. That's always a much more challenging thought for me, that God knows my heart, than a comforting thought. People don't want to believe. You need to seek first the kingdom. And so now there are teachers that won't challenge them to. They'll just be grateful when they come. You know, the Bible says we'll be persecuted. If we are being like Jesus, we will be persecuted. Well, I got an email last week from a fellow who used to be a part of our former fellowship, the International Churches of Christ. However, he's even left that fellowship and now attends another church. I won't say the name. My goal is not to bash anybody. But he goes to a church that preaches tolerance. You guys know what that means? You go by a church and there's a sign, "We preach tolerance." Means we accept all sexual preferences. Gay, lesbian, homosexuality. It's okay here. We accept it. Tiffany brought a magazine to Bible Talk a couple days ago. There are billboards how Jesus loved and promoted homosexuality. And they take scriptures out of context and say, see, it's okay. Now, what about the glaring scriptures that say it's absolutely wrong, like Romans 1?
Yeah.
Or Revelation?
Yep.
That homosexual offenders would be thrown in the lake of fire.
That's right. Take the whole cookie. Come on.
But what this guy wrote me an email that said, he wrote me an email that said, "Why are you guys doing this again? Why are you starting another church? I found much more peace and acceptance in this church." See, when you go to a church that preaches it's okay to do what the Bible says it is not okay to do, there'll be no persecution. Everybody's accepted. It's okay to live however you want. You guys with me?
Yeah.
You won't be hated by all nations because of that gospel.
Nope.
That's the politically correct health and wealth, do what you want gospel. But you're still saved. And that's a lie.
That's right.
That's false hope.
Right.
They've been deceived. And yet Jesus calls us to live differently. He calls us to hand out the hope of true salvation. The hope of true transformation. How many of you became a Christian growing up in a church where you just prayed a prayer and got saved? Raise your hand if you did that. You went down after service, "Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me my sin, amen." And you're told right then there, you're saved. I did it. 3 or 4 times he did it. Amen. Guess what? You go home the next day, you're saved, but you live exactly like you did the day before.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. That's false teaching, false hope.
That's right, bro.
It's not real.
It's not real. It's false. There's no transformation.
No.
We're called to offer transformation. And that comes from true discipleship. Look over in Matthew 14.
Come on, bro.
You know, I thought I was going to lose my voice and have to cut the sermon short, but things are going pretty well, so I'll just keep going for
it.
Amen.
Bro.
Come on,
bro.
I've already given you all 3 points. I'm just referencing them as we go.
Amen.
I want you to see a model here of a man of God, John the Baptist. Matthew 14, verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard reports about Jesus. And he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Is that a crazy statement or what? He hears about Jesus, and what does he hear? Obviously, he doesn't hear that Jesus is preaching, "Hey, just attend. Hope you're having a great life. Health and wealth." No, he wouldn't have heard what he heard and likened him to John the Baptist, arisen from the dead. But I think there was a little more working to make him a little fearful and afraid. John's back. Why? Let's read on. Now, Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias. And we're going to learn about Herodias. His brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for them and pleased Herod so much, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked for. Prompted by her mother, Herodias, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed. But because of his oath and his dinner guests, he ordered that a request be granted and the head, John, was beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl. What the heck is going on? Who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. What in the world happened here? Herod had this wife, Herodias. Now, let me tell you about Herodias. Herodias was the granddaughter of Herod the Great. You've got to understand this. Herodias first married her uncle, Philip. Okay, that's like if my daughter Maria married my brother. Her uncle.
Wow.
That's just wicked.
Yeah, right.
You with me?
Yeah.
But then, Philip's brother, Herod Antipas, came on a visit. And while Herod Antipas was visiting, he convinced Herodias, his brother's wife and niece, to go with him and to leave Philip. So it's like, my daughter married my brother Stephen, but then my brother Michael comes to visit, convinces her, just go live with him. That's how wicked these leaders were. John the Baptist comes along, and he says, according to Mosaic law, it is unlawful for you to be with your brother's wife while your brother's still alive. How about that? Herod didn't like that too much, and Herodias really didn't like it. The Bible says she nursed a grudge. You want to lose your hope real fast?
Come on.
Get bitter.
Yeah.
Bitterness will cause you to lose your hope.
Wow.
It will cause you to lose your faith. You'll start doubting God because in your bitterness, you want to retaliate. You want to fight back. And so you lose your sense that your God is sovereign in your life. You lose that sense. And so the horrible things you've seen, the horrible things you've done, you lose the sense that it's God Almighty who either brought that to your life or allowed you to be introduced to that.
Right. Wow. Come on, bro.
People say, why in the world are there so many horrible things in the world? God doesn't exist. No, God exists. And if people would come to Him and follow the Scriptures, a lot of those horrible things would be gone.
Yeah.
If they'd listen to prophets that preach to them, a lot of those horrible things would be gone.
Yeah.
Remember what Jesus said? If they hate me, they're going to hate you. But if they obey my teaching, they'll obey your teaching. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you sit down and open the Bible with somebody, if they refuse to listen to you, Ginger, they would have also refused to listen to the Lord Himself?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
As long as it's the Lord's words we're bringing.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
But John the Baptist did it. Herodias was bitter. She didn't want to accept her own sin, that she'd left her husband Philip and went to Herod. She didn't get open. She didn't want to repent. She got bitter and nursed that grudge. And I want you to see what it led to. The corruption of her little girl.
Wow.
She used her little daughter to murder God's prophet. How do you think that little girl was scarred by seeing that head on that platter?
Wow.
And how about Herod? Oh, we probably shouldn't do this, but I made an oath. And what will my dinner guests think? And so he contributed to that little girl getting damaged.
Wow.
Guys, recently, I've had people say, Chris, I know what the church you're preaching is right. I know where I'm at is not right. But I made an oath, and what will the people there think?
Come on.
Wow. Come on, bro. Talk about it, bro.
I talked to people who said, man, I'm dying spiritually, and I need to move to Chicago to be with you guys. But I made an oath to my wife's relatives. And God bless them. They're more bound to that oath.
Wow.
And I just pray they can make an oath to God.
Amen.
And do whatever it takes.
Yep.
To get their spiritual life back on track.
Come on, bro.
Do you have hope?
Wow.
What area of your life, if you were honest today, would you say, you know, I had hoped. I want you to get honest before you leave today. Are you doubting your own salvation? I had hoped Jesus was the one to bring redemption to me. Are you doubting your transformation? Man, I had hoped I could change. But I've been in the church for a while now and I'm just not changing. Or my marriage is just not changing. I had hoped it could be great. Are you there? What area of your life have you lost hope? Doesn't mean that what you feel is true. Jesus can redeem you. He can transform you. He can transform any area of your life that He's Lord of. And the whole world can hear.
Amen.
Many people today are sitting in churches going, you know, I had hoped to be a part of a movement that wanted to evangelize the world. But they've lost that hope. Hey, it's right here. If we'll get back in Jesus' words and do it Jesus' way. Last scripture, 1 Thessalonians.
Come on, bro.
I knew that'd fire you up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, I got to say, there's so many horrible things that we've seen in our world. That magazine Tiffany brought to Bible Talk, there was a graph about all the death in our world. It broke it down. You know, 10% of all deaths are homicide in our world. But 20% of all deaths are suicide. Twice as many people that are murdered, murder themselves. According to this magazine. I know for a fact, a study I read a few months ago said, amongst teens, suicide is the third leading killer.
Wow.
Amongst teens. Why would young people, with such hope, and such promise, want to end their life? Because they've lost hope.
Yeah.
You know what they've lost hope in? Our world.
Yeah.
Because of the increase of wickedness.
Right.
The love of most will grow cold. I'm so proud of Brittany.
Amen.
You know, she's graduating high school in a couple weeks. A year ago, we're sitting in Syracuse, and we're planning to come and plant the church in Chicago. And I'm talking to Roger, and Roger's like, man, I really want to go. But there's no way that Brittany is going to want to leave her high school. People she's been in school with all these years, there's no way she's going to want to leave her senior year. Roger didn't have any hope.
Come on, Roger.
I mean, none.
For Ben, bro. Come on.
And he didn't even want to bring it up, Cam. A few weeks later, we're sitting in a little meeting, and Kip McKean was leading it. He had flown in town and was meeting with the potential team to come to Chicago. And in the middle of the meeting, as Kip was preaching from the Word of God, Brittany took her notes and wrote on the notes, "Mom, can we please move?" And showed her mom. And afterwards, when Kip said any response, Kama boldly shared that in front of everybody. I'm so proud of Brittany. She came out here to a brand new high school her senior year. Didn't know anybody but just a couple. But oh, a lot of kids, they've been together all their life. They don't know Brittany. She's the new girl. And oh yeah, she's the Bible girl.
Oh yeah, the Bible. Nice. Nice.
Brittany got a lot of persecution. And it hurt. It hurt her a lot. She didn't give up hope. She didn't quit. Just the other night, Roger and Cameron went with her, and she was honored. She got 4 awards.
Come on, Brett.
She was honored with the other night. All A's. Graduating, going to go to USC. Be a part of the campus ministry there.
Come on.
It's endurance inspired by hope.
Amen.
She did not quit. She did not give in to the peer pressure.
Right.
What her lunch guest would have thought. In the cafeteria. You know? She didn't give in. And I'm so proud of you.
Amen.
It was great to be at that party for you yesterday.
Yeah.
But you know, many people sacrificed to come here.
Yep.
And I want all the new Christians to know how much was sacrificed for you. Because now it's time for you to sacrifice.
Yeah.
We talk openly about how Anthony was the youth minister in the Portland church. And how he was paid a little bit, but enough to be an intern there and work at the youth ministry. It was his dream in a church that was doing awesome. He gave that up, moved here to be a part of a little small planting where it's hard work with the hopes it would grow and he could do again what he already had. But he believed it was God calling him and he came. Pat Sr. gave up his pension. He'd worked 19 years, Blue Cross Blue Shield. One more year, $250,000. He said, bag it, I'll work somewhere else 20 years.
Whoa.
And the world doesn't understand that.
Yep.
They persecute you. You're a fool. I think God has his very great reward.
Amen.
We don't talk about Junior. And Junior, he played high school football. Did awesome. He had a chance of playing college football. He gave it up to be a part of the team. And I want to tell one more person. That's Joel. Joel was playing basketball for his junior college. Joel loves basketball. But he loves God more. That was a big cost. He gave that up. To come on the team. And I can't imagine what it'd be like without any of you on the team. But just a couple weeks ago, Joel was approached by the coach at UIC. Division I ball. Dream. Play Division I ball. See, he's been reaching out to all the basketball team. And he's got skills, so... He's been running practices with him, and Theo would say he's beastie out there. And they kept telling him, you ought to walk on the team. You ought to be on the team. Well, they must have told the coach because the coach came up. He said, I want you to play for me. Senior year. Oh, by the way, I'll give you a scholarship. I'll pay for your senior year. Joel turned it down. You know why? It's a worldly dream to play basketball Division I. Amen.
Yep.
Not a sin to play it.
Yep.
More enticing was the money.
Yep.
Pay for school, help his parents. But he knew when they pay him that money, they would demand a lot of his time. He'd be traveling a lot like he did before. Took him away from church a lot. Could he survive? That wasn't what Joel cared about. He didn't come to survive. He came to be an evangelist in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And he knows he needs all his time to pour into this campus ministry.
Amen.
And he turned it down.
Amen.
You know what the biggest thing on his mind was? He said, but if I did it, I could reach out to all the star basketball players and take the gospel to them. But then he said, well, I'm already doing that.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Amen.
That's the type of sacrifice it's going to take from all of us to bring hope to this hurting world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13.
Come on, bro.
Brothers,
on,
we did not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope.
Wow.
See that, guys? If you die outside of Christ, you have no hope. All that's left to do is to grieve. But you die in the Lord. With salvation, all you have is excitement, future glory. Verse 14, we believe Jesus died and rose again. And so, we believe God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you, we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. We're all going to hear it, guys. Nobody's going to wonder, did He come yet?
Yeah, they're going to know.
With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You know, I was studying this with my son a couple weeks ago. And I was teaching him about false prophets. Because in another passage in 2 Thessalonians, it talks about how the man of lawlessness will come and set himself up in the very temple of God and claim to be God. It was on the news a couple weeks ago. Some dude in L.A. claiming he's God. Reincarnate. And I don't want Austin to be deceived and think someone claims to be God will be God, because many will be deceived.
Yep.
Says they'll even have false miracles.
Yep.
That'll deceive. So, I showed him the scripture. I said, son, when Jesus comes back, it ain't going to be a secret.
Yep. You're going to know.
He's going to come back just the way He left, through the clouds. It's going to be a loud command. The trumpet, you know, it's going to blow. And then the Lord's going to come back. Then next, the dead in Christ, they're going to rise. They're just asleep. If they died in Christ, they're going to rise to be with Him. Then those who are left will be gathered up in the air with the dead in Christ and with Christ. So I said, son, if anyone ever claims to be God and you're not floating in the air with them, it's not true. There's only a couple choices. Either you'll be floating in the air with Jesus, or you'll be standing on the ground looking up at Jesus.
Yep, that's right.
We have the hope of salvation. Hope of transformation. Guys, we are bound together for the evangelization of every last soul, and to God be the glory.
Amen.